This is The Source on KSTX 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. A temporary restraining order is all that prevents the Texas Department of Family and Protective Services from issuing a child care license to the South Texas Family Residential Care Center in Dilley, Texas. That's a fancy name for a detention center there, an area just south of San Antonio. This detention center for children who are in the country illegally, they've fled violence and poverty in Central America. It's expected that tomorrow a judge will hear arguments over the detention center and if it should be granted that needed license. To find out more, we're joined by Jonathan Ryan, the executive director of RAICES, Family and Immigrant Center for Education and Legal Services, and also Bob Leibel, the executive director of Grassroots Leadership. Both these organizations are complainants in this case. And Jonathan and Bob, welcome back to The Source.
Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Our phone lines are open. Give us a call if you want to join a conversation. What do you think should happen to this center? Should it be granted this license? Number is 210-614-8980. Email us at thesource@tpr.org and tweet us at tprsource. So Bob Leibel at Grassroots Leadership, why did you bring this case? What is your concern?
Well, we have a host of concerns about the practice of locking up immigrant children and their mothers at these giant detention centers, these detention camps in South Texas. Certainly the trauma and the conditions that the children and the mothers face are of great concern.
What are the conditions?
Well, you know, I visited the Carnes facility, and what we heard from the mothers there was that, you know, they are not allowed to parent in the way that they would want to parent, that their children were losing weight due to stress. There have been multiple allegations of sexual assault at these facilities. You know, by any measure, these prisons, these detention centers, these detention camps are prisons. They are not child care facilities. And so our suit challenges the Texas Department of Family and Protective Services authority to license these prisons as child care facilities. The state has given this agency the authority to license child care facilities as child care facilities, but has not given the agency the authority to license prisons as child care facilities. And so that's what the court will be hearing tomorrow.
So a child care facility, like a daycare center, is that basically what we're talking about, that they issue licenses, that if you have to meet certain requirements in order to make sure that children are going to be safe in safe conditions and not subjected to harm? That's why we have these rules. And then y'all realized that here we have a facility in South Texas that doesn't have these things and brought this case, Jonathan?
That's right. And you describe it exactly. A child care facility or a daycare evokes all sorts of images. Many parents are on the streets right now preparing to pick up their kids from daycare. And so when they hear that these facilities are going to be licensed as daycares, I'm sure that evokes all of those images that they have of their own child's daycare. But these facilities couldn't be any more different. And as a matter of disclosure, though we do complain about these facilities, our organization, RAICES, is not a complainant in this case, although we do represent four of the plaintiffs in their immigration matters. And what we're talking about are facilities that have already been ruled by a federal judge to not be safe, to not be proper or in any way appropriate for the placement of children. And in fact, this entire charade, this attempt at what amounts to putting lipstick on a pig to try to change the perception of a prison by calling it something else, is merely just a whitewash attempt by the immigration authorities to circumvent a federal law that's known as the Flores Settlement, which governs the care and custody of children who are in our federal government's custody. And so the government first tried to argue that that law didn't apply so that they could put children into these prisons. And you made reference to children illegally in the country. I have to push back on that because our laws actually require, in order to apply for asylum, that you come to our border and you request it. So many of the people who are in these facilities handed themselves over at the border, requested asylum, thought that they were coming to the land of freedom and justice, and in fact, found that they were going to be stuck into a for-profit prison system that really serves to only do two things. Try to send a message to refugees not to come to the United States, which goes against our history, our principles, our ideals, and also to make millions and millions of dollars for these private companies that make money off of keeping women and children now in these boxes. So to say that it's a childcare facility it's really anything but. Let's take Carnes, for example, was built as a prison. The internal documents of the geo company that runs it still refer to what they now call suites, are still called cells on their own paperwork. These are made out of cinder block and metal. They have medical wards that have been used as solitary confinement. These are punitive environments that are being used for children. And I can't agree more with the case that Bob's group, Grassroots Leadership, has brought, that our state has no business authorizing or in some way approving of the use of a prison as a so-called daycare center.
We did reach out to the Attorney General's office in Texas to get their comments about their position on this. They are defending the state of Texas in this issue, and they declined to participate this afternoon. Our phone lines are open if you want to join the conversation. Refugee children in prison, is that the way to deal with the situation? The number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. So Bob Leibel, you mentioned that some of the children have been sexually assaulted. What do you know about that?
Well, there's been multiple allegations of sexual abuse at the Carnes Detention Center, and I actually might turn it over to Jonathan to speak a little bit more about the specific complaints. But I think that one thing to note, as Jonathan did, is that these are facilities that are operated by for-profit prison corporations whose interest is really in extracting as much revenue from these facilities as possible. And we actually heard about that last month on their corporate earnings calls, where they bragged basically about the increase in revenues that were primarily attributable to the onboarding and expansion of these two giant family detention camps in South Texas. And so, you know, the motivation here, I think, is really about profit, and it is really about greed for these corporations. And I think that it is very sad that an agency that is charged with protecting the welfare of children and families is really doing exactly the opposite by, you know, slapping a license on these facilities against the advice of thousands of Texans who submitted comments to the agency saying that they should not license these facilities. I think they only had one comment saying that licensing was appropriate. And dozens of experts who came and testified, child welfare experts, formerly detained moms,
right,
even the head social worker at the Carnes Detention Center, who resigned her position in disgust because of what was happening at this facility. And so,
okay, Bob,
you know, I think...
Bob, we're going to take a quick break. Well, we'll continue the conversation. We come back. Our phone lines are open, 210-614-8980. This is The Source on KSTX. You're listening to The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. $447.4 million. That's how much the total revenue for the first quarter of 2016 was for the detention centers in South Texas, in Dilley and in Carnes City. And that's a lot of money. That's a lot of motivation to keep these facilities open for the corporations and the GEO Corporation. And that's what's at stake with the licensing of this facility that will go to a judge tomorrow. We're joined by Jonathan Ryan, the executive director of RAISES, and Bob Leibel, the executive director of Grassroots Leadership, as we talk about the argument that these centers are not safe for children and should be not granted a state of Texas license as a child care facility. And when we went to break, we were about to hear from Jonathan Ryan talking about sexual assault that happened, the accusation of sexual assault from the guards on the children.
So you made mention of the $400 million in profit, and it's not just important that they keep the doors open, but it's also that they keep things quiet if they want to keep their profits. What you have in these situations, in these centers, I can refer to a client that we represent, and she's one of the plaintiffs in tomorrow's hearing. just on April 12th and then again on April 17th, her daughter was sexually molested by another resident at the facility, another mother, who they are forced to reside with in basically a shared hotel room, what looks like a shared Motel 6 room. And they're forced to reside together. The mother entered into the common showers that they have and fondled her 12-year-old daughter. That's what happened. Now, a report has been made to all of the mandatory reporting authorities. A two-day investigation was conducted by the GEO company, by Department of Family Protective Services, by ICE, that concluded that nothing happened. It was closed in 2 days. Ironically enough, the case investigation was closed the day before the license was issued to the Carnes facility. If you're a mom or a dad out there getting ready to pick your kid up from daycare, and you think that this licensing of these facilities means that they are safe for children, I want you to just imagine that if your child was sexually abused inside of your daycare center, could you imagine a scenario in which by reporting that abuse, you yourself are retaliated against? And that is the problem. I mean, if you go to a daycare center and pick your kid up, you get to leave. These mothers are stuck inside of this punitive environment with their children for extended periods, and they are afraid. They are afraid of complaining about the abuses that are rampant there because they don't want to be retaliated against, which has happened. They don't want negative consequences on their asylum case or on their immigration case because, of course, the guards and staff level that threat all the time, that any minor problem that a family makes is going to be negatively impacting their case. And so you've got an environment that is completely punitive, filled with traumatized people. Let's remember, these are not just women and children. These are women and children who have fled the most dangerous place in our hemisphere and have risked their lives to get here, following that dream that we as a country have sold for the past 75 years, that if you are seeking liberty, you come to our shores and you ask for asylum. And what they found was a country that only wants them to churn through in a new industry that makes millions of dollars for corporation, but that requires, and let us all think about this, an industry in the United States that requires people to be incarcerated in order for it to make money. And this industry is being propped up by our federal government. Is that the kind of capitalism that we want to have in our country? We are a capitalist nation, but we have determined that some things are not for sale. The human body is not allowed to be for sale. Why can a person's liberty be traded like this?
Our phone lines are open. Let's get to the calls. 210-614-8980. Katie is on the line. Katie, hi. Welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thank you very much. I am extremely opposed to the designation of this as a children's center. It is not. I have been around those children at the bus station while they're waiting for their transportation, or when they're in a residential situation waiting for that. And they're entirely different children than you see when you first come across them. They are not afraid of you anymore. I've had personal experience where a little girl asked me to do her pigtails. So she would never do that if she was in at Carnes or Dilley, either one. They are in an atmosphere where they are living in fear. They are so scared of their own hide that it takes a long time to get them loose to where they act like children should act, free and able to play and have a ball or a doll and know what being a child is like or should be like.
All right, Katie, thank you so much for your call. And I'm going to turn over to Bob Leibel, ask you about that, get your reaction about the children and how they come out of these centers and how they need some sort of counseling.
Yeah, I mean, you know, as Jonathan said, the kids and the moms who end up at Dilley and Carnes are oftentimes, you know, suffering from really extreme trauma, both in their country of origin and then oftentimes, unfortunately, now along the route of migration, and then are now re-traumatized, right, by putting them in these facilities. And, you know, I think we really, as a country, have some soul-searching to do. And part of that soul searching has to do with what response to these kids and these moms do we put forward? And I think that the work there in San Antonio of groups like the Interfaith Welcome Coalition and Raices and in the Valley as well, the welcoming response that we've seen from members of the faith community and from people of goodwill has really been remarkable in providing these kids the things that they need. On the other hand, unfortunately, the response of the federal government, the private prison corporations for sure, and now the state government has been, what can we do to ensure at every step that these kids are put into a prison facility that continues their harm? And so I really think that these are the two options, right? These are the two ideas that we can go for. And I think that, you know, really erring on the side of doing what is right for the children is what, you know, our response should be. And unfortunately, the state has decided to use an agency that is supposed to look out for the rights of children and the welfare of families to do exactly the opposite, which is to continue a practice which, by all accounts, harms children.
Right. So didn't they lower the standards for what a child care center can be in order to grant this license, Jonathan?
That's right. Because the GEO Group, one of the companies that runs these facilities, already applied to get a license through the state of Texas, but it was denied. So what they did, rather than adjusting their prison to fit the law,
rather than raise their standards,
right, they asked the state of Texas to lower their standards so that their prison could now be licensed.
And so, does that mean that daycare centers can now qualify under lower standards?
The state of Texas, the Department of Family Protective Services, and this really goes to the core of the issue that's being litigated tomorrow, passed this rule that specified, I believe, Bob could correct me, either immigration facilities or federal facilities are specifically the ones that have these new lower standards. But I can promise you, as somebody who works within the nonprofit and social service world, you can bet that every director of every child care facility in the state is looking left and looking right and wondering how can they now put an application forward or how can they make a request to DFPS to lower standards for them too so that they can also save money, increase their profits, have more kids, lower their standards. And so as we look as citizens towards this, does it not matter what your opinion about immigration or refugees is? You are potentially damaging the rights of children around the state through this kind of lowering the bar. This is erosive of our general custody and care and concern for children. Not to mention the cost is something we haven't even touched upon, but that the taxpayers are paying for these facilities that are bringing profits to these companies. And, you know, me and you and John Q. Public out there are paying $350 a night for each individual person in these facilities. That is the most expensive choice that our federal government could have made. And meanwhile, there are shelters all around the state of Texas and around the United States that are specifically designed to care for children in the custody of the federal government. And all while our federal government propped up this new industry of family detention centers, those shelters sat half empty. And so just in order to prove this new point, just in order to carve out a new market for these for-profit prisons, our federal government allowed our citizens to pay taxes twice for these facilities.
Okay, back to the phones with John. John, hi, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
I admit I got to the discussion a little late, but at least from the beginning, but I find it hard to believe that the actual government and the private prison corporations built these facilities with an eye to make money for the private prison facilities to hold what are essentially refugees. I think it's a bad solution that is not perfect, but I'm trying to balance is, short of open borders, what is the solution for these folks that are coming here And it's not always the United States that's sending the message to just keep coming. We have also sent the message that there's a legal process to go through, and every time we open the doors, it leads to another way. And so I guess I'm kind of asking the question, what are the proposed, so if this isn't a workable solution, is open borders the only solution?
Okay. All right, John, thank you. There's a lot there. We're trying to get to it in the last remaining 2 minutes of the program. But, you know, the phrase open borders, I really don't understand, seeing how our borders are not open in any way. We are spending billions of dollars for border enforcement, and I've never seen more enforcement than we have today on our borders. But I think the central question is about these facilities and whether or not that's practical.
Our Border Patrol releases statistics every year. You'd actually have to go back to the Nixon administration to find as few apprehensions at our border than you do now. We actually, although you might think watching the news that we've got a flood of immigrants coming to our border, that is actually not the case. And I would also refer back to a time in the mid-60s when our government resettled more than 30,000 children from Cuba. It's called Operation Peter Pan. You can Google it. And our government resettled 30,000 plus Cuban child refugees in a matter of months. There was no fanfare. There was no following subsequent concern about open borders or causing any kind of flood.
So there's a lot of capacity.
We are the greatest nation that has ever existed. We can do this, and we can do it in a way that protects children and that preserves our ideals as a country, and that also protects us.
Okay, so tomorrow we'll be keeping an eye on the Austin judge, hearing arguments about the detention center and if they should be granted this license as a child care facility. Thank you so much, Jonathan Ryan, Executive Director of RAISIS, and Bob Leibel, the Executive Director of Grassroots Leadership, will be on top of the story. And when we come back from this NPR news break, we're going to be talking about this irrational fear against people on traveling in Texas who happen to be speaking a different language. Stay tuned.